Genesis chapter number 38 for the preaching of the Word of God. The Bible says in verse number 24, and it came to pass. There it is again. About 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law hath played the harlot. And also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. And Judah said, bring her forth and let her be burnt. When she was brought forth, she said to her father-in-law, saying, by the man whose these are, am I with child? She said, discern, I pray thee. Whose are these? The signet and bracelets and staff. And Judah acknowledged him. I bet he did. And said, she had been more righteous than I. Because I gave her not to Shelah, my son. And he knew her again no more. And it came to pass, there it is again, in the time of her travail, that behold, twins were in her womb. And it came to pass when she travailed that one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, this came out first. It came to pass as he drew back his hand, that behold, his brother came out. Somebody say amen. She said, how hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore his name was called Phares. And afterward came out his brother at the scarlet thread, that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was Zerah. Let the church say amen. Father, and I bless you to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me be a blessing. Thank you for your love. Where would we be without your love? Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me. When I feel like I can't keep on going, I just remind myself, Jesus loves me. So, Lord, I pray, God, that in your love we might move in the service tonight, that you would bind the devil, keep him from interfering in the service, and that your word would go forth with power, that it would land on fertile soil, on good ground, and produce the seed of fruit that you want to accomplish in and through us. We love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Chapter 38, we've entitled Judah, the disappointment. Chapter 37 was Joseph the dreamer. Now with Judah, the disappointment, two fellows coming from the same place, same daddy, same house, same upbringing. You know, at the end of the day, whether you live for God is a choice. Amen. Not necessarily just about where you came from or where you were raised. You know, if you make up your mind you're going to do right, God will help you do right. And so now Judah is a disappointment. Why? Because of selfish decisions. In verse number one, he went down. Anytime you go away from where God wants you to go, you go down. And he isolates himself from family. He isolates himself from authority. He isolates himself from destiny. He isolates himself from accountability. He goes down. And he meets the wrong people. He meets a man by the name of Hira. And then after that, he ends up meeting Shua. And then he marries Shua's daughter. We've talked about this. He's spiraling downward. How many of you know that bad friends only hook you up with bad people? So here he goes. Now he's got children. You know the story. He has three boys. And he hooks up one of his boys with a wife by the name of Tamar. The boy's got a wife, but he doesn't have any character. So he dies. And now Onan should step in and raise the seed of his brother's wife. He should raise that seed. But he's selfish. He wakes the seed and now he dies. There's one son left for Tamar, but daddy thinks she might be bad luck. I'll have to wait until he's older, lest he dies as a young boy. And so he orders her, if you would, to remain a widow, to go to her father's house and stay there until his son is grown. She did what he asked her to do. But the Bible says in verse number 12, the process of time. How many of you know that not everything lasts forever? Somebody say amen. Yeah, I'll go do what you said. Yeah, I'll follow your instructions. But in the process of time, that bitterness that was festering, that unsettled strife between her and her father-in-law that wasn't dealt with, over the process of time, the Bible says, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. And now Judah's wife has passed away. Judah's comforted. And Judah seems to be moving on just fine. But Tamar finds out, verse number 13, thy father-in-law goeth up to Timnah. She begins to devise a plan. Deception. I'm going to get him back. I'm going to pay him back for how he did me. He lied to me. He's not really going to give me his son like he said. So this widow dresses up like a harlot. That's bad news. She hides who she really is because she's trying to get back at someone. You know, when your bitterness is inside of your heart, it will make you be somebody that you're not. She wraps herself and puts a veil on, and all of a sudden, here she goes. She sits in an open place. Judah sees her and thought her to be an harlot. He loses his discernment. She's engaged in deception. He loses all discernment. He doesn't know it's her, his daughter-in-law. He thinks it's a harlot. Whether it was his daughter-in-law or a harlot, he should have been anywhere around there. Got no discernment. So there he is, engaging. He's sitting down, making a deal with her. What can I do to get together with you? Isn't that the work of the devil? The devil negotiates for sin. Come on now. The child of God walking with God will resist the devil, he'll flee from you. But when you're listening to the devil, you negotiate with sin. What can I give you to get some sin? What can I offer you to do some wrong? What can I pledge to you to live out my flesh? Listen to me. The flesh will never be satisfied. It'll never get enough. It'll never say, I want no more sin. It will sin until Jesus comes. There he is, negotiating. They make a deal. You know what the Bible says. He went into her. They went from all of this deception to lack of discernment to an inappropriate desire, an insistent deal, an immoral deed, an inevitable departure, an intended duty, an insulting discovery. He comes back and expects her to do what she said. He holds up his end of the deal and she doesn't hold up hers. Listen to me now. You get in dealings with the devil, you'll always get cheated. He gets away from there because I don't want anybody to find out that I've done this foolishness. Nothing you do for God has to be sneaky. I'll say that again. I said nothing you do for God has to be sneaky. And by the way, while I'm saying, nothing God does for you has to be sneaky. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow. Aren't you glad you don't have to go duck and hide when God's taking care of you? Aren't you glad you don't have to go slipping under the rug when you're doing something for God? Aren't you glad you don't have to whisper so softly when you're living for God? The world may not like it, and the devil may not like it, and people may not understand it, but anything you do for God, you ought to be able to do out in the open. Amen. Let's get out of here. I'm willing to take a loss, Judah says. Forget my losses. I don't want anybody to find out what I did. Verse 24, it came to pass. We're finishing this chapter tonight. It's what I call shameful detection. Shameful detection. We saw scheming deception. Now look at this shameful detection. Now watch this. Here's what I want you to understand tonight. Just because you cover your tracks doesn't mean they're covered. Did anybody hear me? I said, just because you cover them don't mean they're covered. And so, come on, buddy. Come on. Let her take it to her, verse 23. Lest we be ashamed. That's him talking to that friend he should have never been with in the first couple verses, and he's still running with by the time he gets to Genesis 22. I'd like to ask somebody tonight, are you still running with the friend in verse 22 that you were running with verse 2? He was no good in verse 2. He definitely ain't no good in verse 22. And yet, here's Judah. Every time he gets together with this friend, he gets in trouble. And yet he's still running with Hiram. And now all of a sudden, in verse number 24, 3 months later, it was told Judah, saying. I have this in my notes as spreading remarks. Isn't it amazing how stuff spread? I said, isn't it amazing how stuff spread? It was told Judah, verse 24, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot. Here's what always amazes me. Here is Judah outside of the will of God, living in sin, doing exactly what he knows he should not be doing, yet people are reporting to him other people's sin. Listen to me now. You don't need to be a receptacle for other people's sin when you're living up your own. Ooh-wee. You should hear what your daughter-in-law do. And watch this now. Isn't it amazing how people want to be the police and the criminal at the same time? You can't work for the cops if you're robbing banks. Come on. Amen. And you can't be preaching at people if you're not practicing what you're preaching. Amen. And you sure shouldn't be gossiping about somebody else's sin when your sin is traveling all over the county. Somebody say amen. And here is Judah getting news. He's checking up on Tamar. You need to check yourself. Ooh-wee. Tamar, your daughter-in-law, have played the harlot. You hear me now? Spreading remarks. Write this down in your notes. A swift reaction. I mean, he didn't even pray about it. Listen, he didn't even need to think about it. The moment he heard about the sin of somebody else, he had a reaction. Listen to it. She had played the harlot. Also, she is with child by whoredom. I would submit to you that he is not upset because she sinned. He's upset because he's embarrassed. He's upset because he thinks his daughter-in-law has done something with some... How do you know he's not upset with sin? Because he was in sin. How in the world can sin offend you when you are an offender in sin? And here he goes. Let her be burnt. Let her be burnt. Don't forget the first part. Bring her forth. Watch it now. Not just burn her. Bring her here and let's burn her. I don't just want her punished. I want to execute the punishment. Shame on that girl to be in sin. Still with sin crumbs on his lips. Preach, Pastor. Isn't it amazing how hasty we are to judge people for the very acts we are guilty of ourselves? So what are you going to do, David? The man's got a lot of stuff, and he takes the one lamb from the man that's got a little bit of stuff. Well, I just think he ought to be punished. Wait. You have a lot to say about people stealing sheep, but you don't have much to say about a man stealing a wife. Sin will blind you to the truth. It will disguise the ability to see your own self. Sin will make you unaccountable. Sin will make you so quick to condemn in others that which you condone in yourself. Listen to me. He's so upset that she played the harlot, and he doesn't even realize she played it with him. Could you be in the middle of preaching a sermon in your life right now that's actually about you? Are you ordering the execution of a guilty party, not realizing that you are the guilty party? Let her be burnt. There's a swift reaction. I want you to notice the smart response on Tamar's part. I'm reading into this a little bit. Judah said, bring her forth and let her be burnt. When she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law and said, by the men. She's pretty smart, isn't she? You remember the deal? Go back, verse 18. What plan shall I give thee? Verse 18. She said, signet, bracelets, staff. Isn't that the devil? She's not the devil, but doesn't the devil know how to scheme so much that the child of God thinks he can fool around with the devil and get away with it? But the devil will take some of your stuff so that when you act like you didn't do it, he's got your stuff to show you that you did. Amen. Oh, no, I wasn't ever over there, Pastor. You can rest assured. I wasn't ever over there. Well, how did your Bible get there? Ain't that your Bible? With notes from my sermon in it. Come on. Pastor, I didn't go over there. Well, how did they get a tract? You shouldn't have left a tract. Well, the bartender needs to go to heaven. The bartender kept that track. See, you can't play with the devil. You're going to lose. He's been playing the game too long. He wrote the game. He changes the rules. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. He's a murderer. He's a thief. He's not on your side. And thank God he's been defeated by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let her be burnt. Oh, well, before you burn me, might I a few words before my execution? By the man whose these are, am I with child? Y'all do know what she's saying. Let me break it down to you in 2020 talk. This here stuff right here belong to the baby daddy, all right? So before you judge me for my sin, let's recognize my counterpart. Come on. And then I like this statement. Discern, I pray thee. Well, that's the devil. The devil hooks you through your lack of discernment. And then he indicts you by forcing you to have discernment. Watch this now. Listen, he got with her because he didn't have enough spiritual discernment to know she was no good. But now he's going to admit he messed up by executing discernment and identifying his own material. Discern, I pray thee. Sir, before you strike a match on that flame, I would like you to recognize defense exhibit A, B, and C. And tell me if you know to whom these belong. I have here a surprising revelation. If you're taking notes in your Bible, I'd like you to underline these four words. And Judah acknowledged them. And Judah acknowledged them. Those are four words for one word. Busted. Busted. Yep, that's my stuff. Yep, those are mine. Listen, there was no need for any more explaining. Nobody had to give any more details. He didn't need any more witnesses to mount the stand. When he saw this woman that had committed whoredom, that was with child, carrying his stuff, he knew immediately, I am guilty. She had been more righteous than I. process. Here's what he's saying. I was supposed to be the smart one. She's smarter than I was. Do you remember? What he must have been thinking. I picked her. I picked her for my son. 2 sons ago. This girl got into my family because I picked her. Watch this now. This whole scheme started because I wanted to be in control. I wouldn't have picked her if I hadn't chosen to leave home. I wouldn't have left home if I wasn't so full of myself. I hooked up with the wrong friends. They hooked me up with the wrong wife. I have children out of the will of God. I've disobeyed God. It undoubtedly has passed down to my son. My firstborn lives like the devil dies. My second son won't obey a good family custom that ends up being Jewish law. And now my third son, I'm protecting from this woman. And instead of protecting my son, I have now left myself unprotected. How is control working out for Judah? Somebody in the building is spiraling downward in your Christian life because you've got too much control. I want to call the shots. I want to make the decisions. I want to be in charge. I want to have it my way. I disdain authority. I reject accountability. I don't want sound Bible preaching. I don't want my wife telling me I'm wrong. I don't want my husband correcting me. I don't want my parents putting me in place. I want to call the shots. Call Judah to the stand and ask him how it worked out for him. Sincere regret. I didn't give her Sheila. I lied to her. And he knew her again no more. Verse 27, it came to pass. I'm closing here. Sovereign display. Here's what I'd like to ask you. While this whole chapter involves Judah trying to be in control and making a mess, can I ask you a question? Did God lose control? Is God so silent in chapter 38 that Judah has taken the main character role, disallowing God to do anything? Hey, let me tell you something. I am so glad that even when we jump in the driver's seat, unqualified to drive, that God still manages to maintain control. And it came to pass. It came to pass. She travailed. She travailed. Listen to me now. Right about now, if you and I are God, we are tapped out. We're done with Judah. We're done with Tamar. And we certainly ain't thinking about them 2 twins in her womb. If I'm God and Judah knows better and he's defied me and disobeyed me and disgraced me, I'm not looking out for his daughter-in-law. I'm certainly not looking out for his kids. Anybody listen to me tonight? I'm not fooling with Judah. And yet God, in all of his holiness and in all of his righteousness, manages in Genesis 38 to tell us he is a God of grace. So the preceding conception, travail. Travail. Who's looking out? Who's looking out for these precious children who had nothing to do with the silly decisions of their parents? Who's looking out for a kid who is the result of sin, who comes into this world with a story already bent towards failure? Who's looking? Listen to me. Politicians are assembling down in Washington, D.C., trying to come up with laws that will make it possible for kids with no future to have success. I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven who's looking out for the underdog. All right. She's in labor. She's giving birth. It's twins. Here comes the first twin. He puts his hand out. The midwife says, oh, this is the first one. Wrap a scarlet thread around. He's the first one. He's the first one. He's the blessed one. What the Bible says, she wrapped that scarlet thread around him when he put his hand out. But look at verse number 29. He drew it back. Hey. Not everything that starts out first will finish first. Bless you. He drew it back. And the Bible says, behold, his brother came out. I have a preceding conception. I have a premature conclusion. This is the midwife's mistake. She assumed that just because she saw a hand, that meant the whole body was coming. Anybody listen to me? Have you ever made a premature conclusion? And then the provoked confusion. Out comes the other boy. And her question is, as if the infant's going to answer it, how hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. She called his name Phares, and afterward came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was Zerah. Anybody listening to me now? There's a preceding conception. There's a premature conclusion. There's a provoked confusion, but there is providential control. Listen to me now. She just assumed that the first hand out was the first kid out and the firstborn. But I'm telling you, God doesn't plan it like we plan it. I've had times in my life where I just knew this person getting saved was a first round draft pick. I mean, I could just tell. Look at it, just whole package deal. Person gets saved, just going to be just a convert. I'm just going to be on all of the salvation periodicals. Just going to be the poster child of what to do when you get saved. You know what I found out? Just because the hand comes out first don't mean the whole body coming. Are you listening to me now? You're going to learn in life that not everything that starts fast finishes fast. You ever watch the marathon, how them people go breaking out of there as soon as it starts? You get to the end of the race and say, what happened to that guy? Oh, about 30 minutes ago, they say he fell out in the ground somewhere. Let me tell you something. Just because you start out fast don't mean you're going to finish fast. And we learn something from this, that we don't have the right to judge things. There's only one judge, and that's Almighty God. And where it looked like one brother was going to be the firstborn, God had a totally different plan. And by the way, the name Phares, he's the one that came out that looked like second. It literally means breakthrough. And I'd like to say to somebody, maybe you're going through something in your life that looks bad. It looks miserable. It looks sad. It looks dark. Maybe you're in a season right now. Maybe the hand is sticking out in your life of misery and of pain. Bad job, bad financial situation, bad diagnosis. I'm saying, hang on a little while. God specializes in breakthroughs. Let me give you this, and I'm going to let you go home. Turn over to Matthew, chapter 1. So, y'all know who these boys are? These boys are children. Watch this now. Let's classify them as the world and most Pharisaical Christians would classify them. All right? Not just the world. There's some of the toughest, most judgmental classifiers on the face of the whole earth are saved people. So let's classify these two boys as most of the sanctified beloved would. Them boys that was born, or that woman that played the harlot with her old backslidden father-in-law. And watch this now. Ain't no way God's fooling with them. Yeah, but you forgot something called grace. I said you forgot something called grace. I'm going to tell you how good grace is. Grace is so good, according to Matthew chapter 1, in the bloodline of the Messiah, who is to come as the line of the tribe of Judah, the book of the generation of who? Jesus Christ, the son of David, son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Somebody say amen. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Judas and his brethren, they're not even listed. Watch this now. All the other sons of Jacob aren't even listed. And by the way, they didn't do as bad as Judah did for some of them, but God keeps them out. And by the way, we're listing single names here. Abraham begot Isaac, one name. Isaac begot Jacob, one name. Jacob begot Judas, one name. Now watch this now, verse number 3. Judas begot, who is it? Perez and Zerah. I'm going to tell you how good grace is. Grace is so good that it not even put just the firstborn in the story. It put both of them brothers in the story. And I'm telling you, God is such a gracious God that he can take something that looks sad and sinful and sorrowful and wicked and vile and sprinkle some grace in there and put it in the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Your ending does not have to be like your beginning. Who'd have thought? Two boys, the son of a harlot, the son of an incestuous father, wouldn't be remembered by what they were in Genesis, but by what they were in Matthew. And I'm glad where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Thank God for the Old Testament, but I'm glad there's a New Testament. And God is trying to show us something. When you are in control, problems happen. When God is in control, providence happens. Which one do you want? I want to live by providence. And I'm telling you, that everybody in the building tonight has some mistakes that we would love to erase. Some decisions we'd love to go back and change. Some blunders that we were absolutely way worse than stupid when we committed them. But aren't you glad for grace? Pastor Mike didn't know what I'm preaching on that, but that's what they've been saying about grace. Saving grace, matchless grace, marvelous grace, infinite grace. Let me tell you something. The next time you're looking for God to do something wonderful in your life, why don't you look back? The fact that he's using you, the you that you are now, when the you that you were then shouldn't be the you that you are now, that ought to be grace enough to propel you to the you that you will be when he makes you into the image of Jesus Christ. We live according to his grace. Joseph is a dreamer. Judah is a disappointment. The Holy Ghost has to tell us this information about Judah because Judah is the bloodline through whom the Messiah would come. You reckon Jesus is trying to tell us that even I had some rough characters in my bloodline? So stop telling that foolish excuse about you can't be nothing because you came from a sorry family. Read the bloodline of Jesus. He got harlots. He got Moabitish people. He got incestuous people. He got people that played the harlot. Listen to me. It was never about you and me anyway. We're just supposed to be channels through whom Jesus can flow. Thank God. Thank God for his grace. Father, we love you. Because you first loved us. And you're telling us something in Genesis. You're telling us that you've got a plan. There are people in the building tonight who, by all human circumstances, should not be here. Were it not for grace. Pastors sitting in the building tonight who should not be pastoring were it not for grace. Young men called to preach, young ladies married to a godly man that should not be here if it were not for grace. Foster kids who are now parents. Drug users who are now soul winners. Children of a Muslim heritage who are now gospel preachers, were it not for grace. May grace propel us to not be a match to our past, but motivated for our future. In Jesus' name.